David's Psalms and some wonderful encouragement for us this morning. Let's stand together as we read God's Word. And Psalm 34 is not very long, so I'll lead us in reading. Psalm 34 and verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Father, as we open your word, thank you for the fact that every piece of it is true. And that each of these verses speak to us to encourage us to know Christ and to serve Christ and to share Christ. And so we commit these few moments as we spend them in your word to you and ask that your Holy Spirit would touch each one of us in that deep and special way as we come to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And this morning, I'd like to spend a few moments thinking about how God redeems mistakes. Anybody in here, apart from me, who's ever made a mistake? Well, Mrs. McGregor made one, and I see Gary Tollefson says he made one. I'm a bit worried about the rest of you, though. Well, we'll talk about it and see what Scripture impact has upon you. David, made a mistake. Oftentimes we read through his life story, and in 1 Samuel 21 and the beginning of 22, he made a mistake. He comes to a place in life where Saul is going to kill him, and Jonathan, King Saul's son, says, David, you need to get out of here because my father is going to kill you. And so David makes a mistake. He goes to the Philistines, to the enemy, for help. And you know, that's a definite mistake. It didn't take very long before David realized that he was where he did not want to be. And he was in circumstances that he did not want to walk in. So in Psalm 34 here, it is that time where he has run to the enemy for help. And do you ever when you make a mistake, not only feel, oh, I wish I hadn't done that, but how in the world can this ever be made right? Can anything good ever come out of this? Now, Scripture is full of stories of those who made mistakes and God redeemed it. Let me give you a couple of examples before we walk through this psalm together. There's David, of course, and we'll see how did God redeem the mistake that David made as we walk through this psalm in just a little bit. There's Joshua. You'll remember in Joshua chapter 9, the Gibeonites come to him, and they've got old clothes and shoes and old food that's moldy and stuff, and as they come, they say, we've come from a long way, and we want to become allies with Israel. And Joshua makes a mistake. He doesn't go and ask God. He just says, well, okay. And you see, he made a mistake because he should have asked God first. And I have discovered in life, times when I don't ask the Lord about something, I am prone to make mistakes. What about you? And then you'll find, you say, well, John, those are Old Testament. Yeah, they are. And they're both men. And you girls would say, yeah, men make mistakes. Man, do they ever. Well, it's true. But then, you know, you think about people like Naomi, and she and her husband made a mistake. When times were tough for God's people, they decided they'd go to the sunny side and move on over to Moab, and everything would be great. But instead, she lost her husband, and her two sons died. And as she comes back to the people of God, we see God redeeming that mistake and making something wonderful, bringing along the grandfather of King David through Ruth, Naomi's daughter-in-law. And in the New Testament, Saul is persecuting the church. It was a mistake. But you see, he believed in tradition, and traditions sometimes trap us. I prayed with somebody down there in Ontario who said, you know, I know what to do. I know the traditions. I know some of the answers. But I said, but you're 18 inches from heaven, the distance between what you know here and what you've experienced here. Saul made a mistake. But in Acts chapter 3, we see how God redeemed him and how he redeemed that whole awful experience that Saul was engaged in as he was there when Stephen, the first martyr, was killed. Oh, I'm so glad that we have a God who redeems our mistakes and brings something absolutely wonderful out of it. Aren't you? Oh, it is such an incredible encouragement. Now, you see, David made a mistake, as I said, but he made the mistake because he decided too fast. Saul's going to kill me. I got to get out of here. Gone. And oftentimes, we make mistakes because we decide too fast about things. You ever notice that Jesus prayed all night, the night before he named the disciples, the apostles? He prayed all night. It wasn't a snap decision. It wasn't, you'll do. It was, I call you. And as you think about mistakes, yeah, they can happen so very easily, can't they? So as we think today, just for a few minutes here in Psalm 34, look with me at how the Lord redeems this mistake in David's life. There are sort of four little sections in the psalm, and we'll spend a couple of minutes thinking about each one. What is David doing as he is looking to God to redeem him? You know, Star Trek hadn't been invented yet, so he couldn't stand there and say, beam us aboard, Scotty. He's in the enemy camp, and it's very uncomfortable. And that's why when somebody backslides from walking with Christ, they get to be so miserable, because there's no place so miserable as being far away from Christ. And if by chance I'm speaking to someone this morning and you would say, I'm not as close to the Lord as I used to be, think about where that road ultimately goes. You can end up in the enemy camp, just as David did. And here in the enemy camp, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Now, if you were to say that in good times, I'd understand it. But when things are not so good and not in the position you would hope for, what a wonderful thing it is to see David, a man after God's own heart, and he's made this mistake, and he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. You'll find this word all is used several times through the psalm. And I encourage you, if not this morning, then maybe later on today, look through that psalm and underline every time that the word all is used, because they are each of wonderful encouragement to you and to me. You see the expressive verbs that he uses. He says, I'll bless the Lord, I'll boast, I'll magnify, I'll exalt the Lord. Why? He's in the worst of circumstances. Why does he say, I will bless the Lord at all times? Because David knew that God is a redeeming God. He knew that there was one who could help him out of this mistake. Now, there's room in there, is there not, for a little woo-hoo? Or should it be, yes, thank God, I don't have to stay in those circumstances. I don't have to be governed by my mistakes. There is a God in heaven who can deliver me and help me, and who will if I will come to him and seek him. And you see, here is this wonderful psalm as he pours out blessing to God who can help him. What is it that is your burden this morning, your need this morning? Do you know that there is one in heaven who can take you out of those tough things, or hold you in those tough things and love you through those tough things and times? This is the first thing that we see as we look at David and his circumstances. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. He's worshiping God. Ah, marvelous, is it not? And you'll see he praises God for answered prayer in verse 4 and 15 and 9 and 10. He praises for deliverance in 17 and for protection in 7. He boasts in the nearness of God to help him. Wow. Oh, there's never been anything like this on the national news or CTV or whatever. All that news is about awful things that happen. But the gospel of Christ is the good news that there is one who can take our mistakes and redeem them. I am so thankful for that, aren't you? In verses 4 through 8, we see that he says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. I sought him. He was seeking the Lord. Wow. David gives a witness to why he was seeking God. He says that God saves. He says that God delivers. He says that God satisfies. Verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. He satisfies. I'll tell you, I spent 10 days, and the average temperature was 33 or 34, and a million mosquitoes. And every day, the cook at the camp, when I was going through the line, would hand me a bottle of ice water. But, you know, it wasn't all that bad. I had a ceiling fan so I could move the hot air around and chase the mosquitoes into the corners. But you know, those little guys, they fly in formation. Yeah. There are things, are there not, in our world that leave us rather unsatisfied, A host of mosquitoes is one of them, isn't it? But how much more so when it comes to knowing that I'm loved, that somebody cares enough to protect and to keep and to guide. As David sought the Lord, he speaks in very practical terms about these things and how the Lord helped him in every circumstance. It talks here about people walking in unbelief and their faces will be ashamed, and those walking by faith, their faces will be aglow. They'll be radiant. I have seen over the years many times when someone comes to Christ and says, God, would you forgive me? And would you come into my heart and save me? And their whole face just changes as the peace of Christ comes to dwell in that heart. I had coffee yesterday with a man who was part of a church that we pastored some time ago. And he came to South Africa with me on one trip. And I had some fun. He slipped into a seat beside me in a South African service and said, I'm mad at you. I said, oh, why are you mad at me? He said, because ever since I came here, I can't stop crying. And I said, why do you think that is? There's a long pause, and he said, because, Pastor, you know I haven't been walking closely with Christ. And you know I haven't even sought to draw close to him. It was interesting to watch that night. That man and another fella were out in a township giving witness in a meeting where another person was preaching. And a Sangumo, a witch from one of the tribes, came and said, I would like to be free. And my two friends, who had just come to share their witness, not to preach, not to do anything, all of a sudden were asked by the black pastors in that tent meeting, would you pray for this lady to be set free? And when they did, all those charms and stuff started to break and fall off, and her face changed. And the smile began to shine, and the words came out of her mouth, I'm free. I'm free. Oh, he was blessing the Lord. He was seeking the Lord. He tells us that there is a need for the fear of the Lord. Now, we don't hear very many sermons these days on the fear of the Lord, but let me just put it this way. When we fear the Lord, we have a reverend respect for him. A respect that he is God and we are not. A respect that he can do what we cannot. An understanding that he can give us peace deep in the heart and soul. A sense of knowing that when we fear the Lord and walk with him, there is a togetherness that this world could never touch. You see, nearness to him drives out that human fear of what will people think. And as I respect God and walk with him, how amazing is that? Duncan Campbell was a wonderful revivalist with Faith Mission in the UK. He was in 1948 in Bangor, Northern Ireland, sitting on the platform getting ready to get up and preach. And the chairman of the conference said to him, you'll be up after this next song. And he said, I have to leave. And the man said, you need to go to the washroom? No, he said, I have to leave. God is calling me to the Hebridean Islands. I have to leave right now. You know, when he got off the ferry in the Hebrides, an elder from a church mysteriously showed up on the dock to meet him. And this is what the elder said to him. Mr. Campbell, we've been praying for you. Thank you for coming. Are you walking with God today? That's a great thing to ask a preacher, isn't it? Are you walking with God today? Duncan Campbell's answer was this: I can honestly say that I fear the Lord. A revival swept those islands in that year, and its impact is still felt in many places in the world. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, says the psalmist. Oh, for time's sake, let me move along. Toward the end of the psalm, David begins to trust the Lord, and he's speaking to you and I today about trust him. Nowhere is it suggested that a believer will have an easy journey. And hear me say this. If you listen to the guys on TV that tell you when you come to Christ, everything will be great, you'll get gold fillings in your teeth, your bank account will go up, and all the rest of it, that's not true. But what is true is that when you come to Christ, you become part of His kingdom, and He will journey with you every step of the way. And He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And in the times when things don't look so good and mistakes have been made, He will redeem that and make something wonderful out of it. You know, there are times of intense pressure, aren't there? Pastor Shea, have you ever had any times of intense pressure? He works with me. That's what he said. I work with you. See, he knows about intense pressure. No question. I think about working on a Graham crusade in a city where things were going very, very tough. And I remember being home for one Sunday, sitting beside my little wife and listening to our pastor preaching with great passion on Nehemiah. And I remember that little hand of hers coming over onto my arm to say, whisper in my ear, stay on the wall. And you see, as we trust Him, He works it all out. It turned out to be one of the best crusades that we ever did. The circumstances didn't look great, but you see, when God is in it, He can redeem those times. Now, I don't know about you, but I know there are certainly many of them in my life and past, and I'm grateful for every time that God has said, let's turn this around. And I believe I'm talking to some this morning, and there are things in your life and in your family you would love to see turned around. Our God is a redeeming God. He is able to do that. If He could take David out of that enemy camp and turn it around and fulfill His promise to make David king of Israel, He can take your mistakes and mine today, and He can redeem them. Have you experienced that? How God redeems those times? What we're going to do today is finish just quietly with prayer right there in the seat where you are. The altar is open if you feel you want to come and bring a burden or a prayer request to the Lord at the altar. Don't let anybody stop you from doing that. Don't let anything stop you from doing that either. I'll be here and others will be here after we conclude, just to have that opportunity to pray. Oh, how thankful I am that we can bless the Lord in all circumstances. We can seek Him in these quiet moments together. Dear friend, this morning, if you're here and you've never known that personal salvation that Christ brings, right where you're sitting right now, it's a mistake to go on without Him, so don't do it. Turn to Christ and say, Lord, forgive me for my sin. I recognize that I'm a sinner. Come and live in my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Show me how to walk with you. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we bow before you in prayer in these moments, as we listen to this song of your grace, would you just touch our hearts afresh and anew, and let us draw near to you just as David does in this psalm, and trust you regardless of the circumstances to redeem it for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Pastor Shea, if you would sing, and just take quiet time to pray right where you are, or come to the altar as the Lord would lead.